How many of you have been attending the Alistair Petrie meetings? How many of you have been attending the James Nesbitt meetings? The Lord is doing something. These meetings are not competing. They are opening the way because the worship makes the way for the laborers to go out. The worship opens the way for the strategies of heaven to be unlocked so that we know the specific targets and the exact times to take those targets. Strategic level warfare is increasing in our region. There's a righteous remnant that's been pursuing the presence of the Lord to intimately know Him. Are you part of that remnant? And in that revelation of knowing Him, they are going, they're being fruitful, they're multiplying, and they're stewarding the earth for His glory. It's all about Jesus and His bride making herself ready. I didn't know that today was my 494th anniversary when I wrote this message, but I did know. Because we celebrate every month, guys. If we want to know Jesus, we have to know Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Son to us for the Father. You can't know Jesus apart from Holy Spirit. I'm going to try this. But I could imagine that Jesus and Father were having a conversation about you, His bride. It might have gone something like this. I like the way she looks. I like the way she moves. I like the way she talks. Oh, Dad, you can't take her away from me. No, you can't take her away from me. I imagine that Jesus is singing over you as His bride. Telling Father, yeah, my blood covered that. Oh, my blood covered that. It's finished. Do you know the sevenfold Spirit of God? He's revealed from Genesis to Revelation, and James opened with that tonight. Isaiah 11:2 says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's what's resting upon you. Why? Because Christ is in you. Holy Spirit wants to settle down upon you. He is God's presence in the earth today. Get ready. He's about to pour Himself out on all our brothers and sisters who don't know Him. Pastor Lisa, stand up. We send Pastor Lisa tomorrow into the well to educate those new believers who know nothing about Holy Spirit other than a name in a book. We send her to open hearts and minds to receive the one who can reveal the height and the breadth and the depth of Father's love in Jesus' name. We have to know Holy Spirit. There's three mindsets in the Bible. If you've been with us, you know them. The barbarian. I want it now. ISIS is the barbaric mindset in the earth today. But I might have a little bit of that barbarian mindset because Achan had the barbarian mindset. God said, none of this shall be taken, but if I covet anything, that's a barbarian mindset. The sin of Achan resulted in him falling short and not fulfilling his destiny. The second mindset is the Greek mindset. Zechariah 9:13 tells us that the great end time battle is going to be between the sons of Greece and the sons of Israel. Two mindsets, humanism versus the Father heart of God. But then there's a third mindset, And that's the Hebraic mindset. The Father heart of God for all of creation. In the Greek mindset, knowledge is facts. I was really good at that as a chemist. I had all kinds of facts and all kinds of knowledge. However, in the Hebrew mindset, knowledge speaks of intimacy. That's what tonight is all about. In Genesis 4:1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she became pregnant and bore Cain, and she said, 'I have gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord.'" 11 of the 23 versions that I read this scripture out of translated this Hebrew word as new. But here's what the Complete Jerusalem Bible says. "The man had sexual relations with Hava," that's Hebrew for Eve, "his wife. She conceived and gave birth to Cain," which means acquisition. "And I have acquired a man from Adonai." The New American Standard says, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, 'I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord.'" The implication is that to know someone is to reproduce who they are. Do you know Jesus? Are you reproducing him? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? Are you allowing him to touch others through you? If we truly know him, we're reproducing his presence everywhere we go. The spirit of knowledge will assist us in getting closer to the Lord. One of the ways he does so is to reveal to the bride the things Father, Son, and Spirit like and dislike. That's why we read our Bibles. Do you know that the Bible tells you what God likes? Do you know that it tells you what he hates? Ladies, do you remember when you were first married? Do you remember when you were going on dates or courted? Did you do the things to tick him off? To push his buttons? Or did you do the things to draw him in? Of course, this side over here is trying to think what they did. It wasn't that long ago, guys. Speak for myself, huh? 494. That's 41 years and 2 months, in case you're trying to do the math. Tonight, we're going to look at something that keeps us from intimacy with God. Because if we can remove those things, then we can step into that place that we were at in worship all the time. It's not supposed to be about a Sunday morning or a Saturday night feel good. It's supposed to be 168 hours a week with Jesus driving in control. No matter how much I read the Bible or sing songs or do good works, if I participate in the things Father hates, I dishonor the Son and I grieve the Holy Spirit. And I fall short of my desire to see him in all of his beauty, all of his glory, and all of his power. Our text for the night is Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16 says, "There are six things the Lord hates and seven that are an abomination to him." There's several places in the scripture that list them, but we're just going to briefly go over these. The first is haughty eyes. Pride will not get you into the throne room. There was no one puffed up here tonight, and we all got to ride on the tails of Christ into his presence. It's not about competition. It's not about who we think we are. It's about who God knows we are. Pride was the issue that got the best, the most beautiful of all God's creation, and the most powerful worship leader in eternity cast out of heaven, Lucifer. It was his pride and his iniquity in trading that had him cast down. So all we have to do is look at that example to see what Father thinks of pride. His very best can never come into his presence again unless he calls him. He has shown you what is good and what he requires of you. This is my son's sign-off on every email. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. All we have to do to get into his presence is do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. The second is a lying tongue. You know, you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because everything we do is in a court. We talked about that tonight. We talked about that last night with James Nesbitt. The court of heaven. Everything you speak is being heard in that court. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. You know what? If you do that, you never get caught in the snare of a little light white lie, which leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. Our yes has to be yes. When you compromise truth, you compromise Jesus Christ and the victory that he won for you. It is by the power of his blood that you can stand and condemn the tongue of the father of lies, the accuser, according to Isaiah 54:17. So if I'm speaking things that are partial truth, heaven sees that as a lie. That separates me from intimacy, but it also opens me up to the father of lies to attack me. The third thing is hands that shed innocent blood. See, your hands were meant to be instruments of worship and extensions of the hands of Christ to heal and to deliver and to minister his compassion. When we know of innocent blood being shed and we do or say nothing, the blood, the Bible says, is on our hands. What is happening in our land right now is the Lord moving in response to the men and women and children who stood for the last hour, 42 years since 1973. That's an hour in God's time. They stood for the last hour against the abortion issue. Yes, there have been crescendoing levels of prayer and worship over that issue. And what are we seeing? Father rolling back the occult screen that hid them for so long, and they're being exposed for what they really are. They are Satan worshipers. Not the women who have the abortions, but that is the power behind the shedding of innocent blood. We need to learn from history and honor God by defending the rights of the poor and needy, like Jeremiah told us in chapter 5, verse 28. Our hands should be extended to God in worship and extended to those around us in service for God. I have a hero. His name is Jesus. And that is what he did. He extended his hands to the Father in worship and intercession. He waited on him, and he saw what he asked him to do today. And he went and did it, and he extended his hands. And to everyone he extended his hands, the kingdom of God touched them. Isn't that what he said to tell us to do? Tell them the kingdom of God has come upon you before you minister to them. And then when they get it, tell them again, the kingdom of God has come upon you. See, this little whispering of fear. Well, when I see them fall down in the spirit, then I'll tell them it was God. Or when I see the arm grow out, I'll tell them it was God. When I was in Vietnam and the paralytic came up, I didn't have the opportunity to say, well, we'll just wait and see what God does. We prayed for his brain and his arm grew out. Why did I pray for his brain? Because when we were praying for his arm and his leg, nothing happened. And I said, something happened to this man. And his wife said, oh, he had a stroke. Listen to Holy Spirit. Touch what the enemy touched. Let him heal it. And then let him do it. The next day, he walked from about where the platform is in the back up here to get a prophetic word by himself without help. The kingdom of God has come upon you. The fourth thing is a heart that devises wicked plans. See, deception begins in a heart. Hebraically, the heart and the mind are one. They're located here. My brain is something else. As a scientist, I had to learn new biology. God's always right, by the way. Scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all else and deceptively wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. See, beyond what you do, the Lord judges, and that word literally means to discern, the attitude of your heart and why you did it. I could come up and put a big bag of money in the offering, but if my heart wasn't right, the widow woman who comes up and puts in all she has, two copper coins, has a heart that's right before God. And all the best I did was as filthy rags in his sight. A heart that desires intimacy with the Lord does the work of Christ only for Jesus to receive more glory. Not so I can put another plaque on my wall or another title behind my name. It's all about Jesus. When our heart attitude about anything we do is not Jesus' attitude, we fall short of intimacy with him. It is much easier to minister out of intimacy with the Lord than it is to try and move in the weakness of my flesh. Let everything we do be done as though we were doing it to and for the Lord. When you're ministering to that little child, that's Jesus. When you're ministering to the couple that's wrestling with their marriage, they are Jesus. Everything you do should be as though you were ministering to him in their place. When our heart attitude about anything is not Jesus, I cannot be intimate with the Lord. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. The next, feet that run rapidly to evil. When the word of God is not a lamp for your feet or a light for your path, you are on a slippery slope to compromise, which is the racetrack to evil, misery, distress, and injury. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Intimacy with the Lord cannot happen apart from the word of God dwelling in you. If the only time you open your Bible is in church, you're in trouble. I'm going to tell you a story about putting it in your heart. When I was brought up here in 1985 on my one-year assignment, I'm a slow study. It took 3 months for me to work with everyone that I was working with at Kodak to get them to a place where they realized that the things I was teaching worked. They worked so well in Tennessee that it got me promoted a lot. They were all based on the Word of God. Well, on May 11th of 2015, how does he remember? Proverbs 11. It happened to be a Tuesday. It was the lunch break of the first seminar that I was doing for them. And after lunch, they had to begin to apply what I was teaching them. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I fast. They all went to lunch, and I said, God, what am I going to do now? But every day, I ate the word of the Proverbs for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner. So I opened up my Bible, and Proverbs 11, verse 1 says that the Lord hates unjust weights and balances. And I knew exactly from that, because it was a chemical place, they had to weigh everything. And I knew what the strategy was. They came back from lunch, and they had not a clue. They wrestled for a half hour, and I said, do you guys weigh anything? Oh, yeah! See, if you put the word of God in your heart, there's an answer for everything from farming to astrophysics. Right? I asked my chemist physicist teacher over here. Right? I asked my physicist. He has an answer for everything. If his word is not the lamp and the light for my feet, I'm not walking to the place of intimacy. The sixth is a false witness who pours out or utters lies. See, a witness gives a testimony. Did you know that? Do you know that you all can prophesy? Because Revelation 19:10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you testify of him, you can prophesy as Holy Spirit leads. Your testimony is to the truth. Did Jesus say, you have not because you ask not, when you ask wrongly? Some people say yes. I believe Pontius Pilate asked the wrong question. He asked, what is truth? The question is, who is truth? I believe Jesus would have answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, you testify to the person, Jesus Christ, more by what you do than by what you say. You know, the world is reading you. That's why we call them the epistles. The world is watching you to see if what you say is real, if it lines up with everything that you have been doing in their presence. When you speak falsely, you are a bad witness for Christ, and you actually testify that the father of lies has greater influence in your life than the King of Glory does. That keeps me from intimacy with the Lord. Father said he will not give his glory to another, and neither should you give his glory to another by the way that you speak. Proverbs 6:16 says there are six things the Lord hates and seven that are detestable and an abomination to him. So those six combined with this one make up the seven. One who spreads strife among brothers. Did you know that the Father commands his blessing upon those called by his name who dwell together in unity? Isn't that what Psalm 133 teaches us? He commands a blessing. But that means I have to choose to dwell in unity with you. And you have to choose to dwell in unity with me. That's the hard part. The first part was easy. Christ is coming back for an overcoming, devil-stomping bride who represents the oneness of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He's not coming back for a bunch of people who are waiting to get whisked out of the earth. He's not coming back to bail you out of your failed 401k or a bunch of credit card debt. He's coming back for a bride who knows who he is and has made herself ready. That which divides his bride is an abomination to God. The harshest word you ever speak will not be as much for you to explained to Father as anything you do to divide his bride. That's what denominations do, by the way. In math, the denominator always divides the numerator, and there's one bride, one body. And the denominations have divided that, but Holy Spirit is moving to bring us back to that oneness. That's what tonight was all about. When we honor one another above ourselves, we begin to honor Christ in them. There's a little bit of Jesus in every believer, from the one who just said, "Lord, I need you," to the one who's been filled with the Spirit and casting out devils for 40 years. There's a little bit of Jesus in all of them, and we need to honor who he is in them. This is a season, the decade of Ion, where we can begin to be more prophetic. We can see more clearly. Look for Jesus in those who are called by his name and honor him in them. You should be thankful there is only one me. Two would be very difficult to put up with. Right? The kids always like it when I say this. Sometimes it means absolutely nothing. In conclusion, does Jesus like the way you look? Does he like the way you move? Does he like the way you talk? As his ambassador in the earth, you should be so intimate with Christ that everywhere you look and move, your every look and move and your every word should represent Jesus to all of those that see you. Some of them are going to turn their heads and be amazed, and some of them are going to keep right on walking. You don't have to worry about that. The sevenfold Spirit of God is talked about in Revelation 5:4. It's talked about in Revelation 5:6. He is moving over the earth. He is hovering over the earth once again. And he's bringing up the new thing that Father wants to do. He's looking for those who desire intimacy with him and the Son and the Father. Are you in that boat? Do you desire an intimate relationship? Allow the Spirit of knowledge, that's who we're talking about. Allow the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit who brings intimacy, to draw you closer to him. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Everyone that's normally a part of Shepherd's Heart is amazed that I spoke so little. I didn't have to do this with an interpreter, so it cuts it in half. While they are assembling, if you would like Home, Back to the Garden, it's all songs that James Vincent has done. We have a few of them. They're $10. And we have 34 of them. So if you want to buy them, this is excellent, by the way. See this man right here. He is the keeper of the CDs. We're going to end the way we began tonight, knowing that he wants to be intimate with you. We're going to worship and ask him to just breathe over us again. When we conclude, please stay in fellowship. There's refreshments and beverages on that side of the wall. Father, I thank you that you have brought us to a place that now we cannot say we do not know what you do not like. But we can say, Lord, touch my heart so that I do the things you delight in, so that I may be intimate with you and know your delight poured out over me. Lord, I ask you to touch every heart that said, I've done that, but it is finished. Your blood has set me free from that thing, and I choose now to press into intimacy with you.